And welcome back to episode 132 of the Weekly Tech Wrap with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Oh, a little bit keen there on the intro music, but we can edit that out. So, welcome back to episode 132 of the Weekly Tech Rant, and what a lineup we have for you this week. We are going to talk about the car crash that is the UK CMA and the Microsoft Activision acquisition. That's a statement. We're going to talk about Apple's App Store and payment models. UK government up again, but not quite for the same reasons, around AI. Mobile security firm Lookout goes all in on the enterprise. Yes, there are still mobile security firms that purely do security. Arm finally files for its own share listing, but not where you might think. And Elon Musk once again with some ludicrous statements, this time over a lawsuit following a fatal Tesla crash. And yes, the rumor mill is back. And the iPhone, this week we're back with the iPhone 15 as we get closer and closer to WWDC. So then, let's kick off the big story of the last week, which is the CMA, and it's quite frankly ludicrous decision to block the $69 billion Activision acquisition.
Exactly. I mean, I get a bit stunned by this one, because last month they seemed to make a U-turn, didn't they? They basically stated that, you know, a certain amount of new evidence has been provided by MS, Microsoft about the buyout, and it wouldn't result in a substantial lessening of competition relating to console gaming in the UK. So, right, okay, that was the main hurdle, what they were all talking about, Call of Duty and all that stuff. I thought, right, we've cleared that one, it's all good. Now, though, they've blocked the deal over the concern the merger would alter the future of the fast-growing cloud gaming market. So they switched track to that one and then blocked, haven't they?
Yeah, so basically they've shut down Sony's arguments, haven't they, that Call of Duty, they made it very clear that Call of Duty was not the concern here, wasn't it? And so Sony's arguments are dead in the water. But right, you like now they're saying, as you say, it's cloud gaming and, you know, this is going to alter the future of fast gaming. Well, Microsoft kind of addressed that, I think. They did address that.
They did.
And they're not blocking it. And also, let's be honest, to look at cloud gaming market at the moment, I'd actually argue it's in its infancy rather than fast growing.
Well, yeah, I would do. But they're going on to say, you know, that basically the final decision to prevent the deal comes after Microsoft's proposed solutions fail to effectively address the concerns in the cloud gaming sector. And Microsoft accounts, according to them, 67% of the global cloud gaming service, and they would find it commercially beneficial to make Activision's games exclusive to its own cloud gaming service.
How many deals have they signed recently?
Oh, I've lost count. There's a new one every day. I mean, I've got several problems with this, really. I was sitting there thinking about this before. I was like, okay, so let's start right. Sony themselves actually blocked multi-platform games like Call of Duty from being available on cloud gaming platforms.
Yep.
Microsoft want to get it everywhere. They don't care where you buy it, as long as, yeah, you buy it from them. But any platform you want. And I know we've said this before, yeah. The reason Microsoft commands 67% of the cloud gaming market is because they made a product that's simple to use, isn't tied to any one platform, and actually provides some real value. I mean, nearly every other cloud gaming, I was sitting looking for all the ones that have been before, and they just don't provide that, do they? You have to pay a subscription for the infrastructure, so you pay a subscription for the cloud gaming, and then you have to buy all your games on top. And I just don't think consumers want that, do they? They want a Netflix-style service. You pay once, yeah, and then you just play it on whatever device you want to play it on. I mean, yeah, look at Strava. So is it Strava? That was Google's one, wasn't it?
Stadia,
not Strava. What am I talking about? Stadia. Yes. Those games were not only full price, they were locked to the platform. So it's not like NVIDIA's GeForce Now, where you just hook into your current Steam library, buy new games through Steam, you can play them on your PC, you can play them in the cloud. No.
But you are paying twice there, because you've still got to pay...
Oh, you're still going to pay NVIDIA. You still pay GeForce Now or Stadia, etc. I mean, the only one that actually comes close, and I'm going to say this loosely, is Sony's PlayStation Plus service, or what used to be PlayStation Now, isn't it? But yeah, that's more expensive. Not a much. You know, it's £13.50 rather than 11 quid, basically. But here's the crux. It only works... You can only stream to a PlayStation 4, a PlayStation 5, or a PC.
What good is that?
Oh, yeah. And the PC, you need an app. It's not a browser. You know, so Game Pass works on your Xbox, your PC. It's on TVs like Samsung, LG. It's on streaming sticks. It's on Android. It's on iOS. Basically, anything with a browser. I mean, it would even work on the PlayStation 5 if Sony actually had a full browser on there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, the other one, you get day one game access to games, don't you? You don't get that on Sony's one, not even for the first party games.
No.
So, and the more you look at it, the more you think Microsoft have done an actual, a good service that people actually want to buy, and now they're being punished for it.
They are. And your point there, about what you say about the other services, well, none of them have moved beyond really that incubational stage. You know, as you say, Stadia is dead. What's the one from Amazon, Luna, isn't it? Well, that's
still
not
around.
Anywhere. That's still there, you know, but it's not going anywhere, is it? You know, and again, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to take off, to be honest with you, either.
Could you imagine going and speaking to your parents or your relatives, and they're saying, "Oh, we're interested in some. I want to do some cloud gaming." All right, okay. Right, well, you need to go and buy the subscription and pay, I don't know, whoever, Google, Amazon, Nvidia, money. Okay, and what do I get for that? Just get the ability to stream.
Yeah.
You have to buy your games at full price on top, and they're then locked to the platform. They're just not going to buy that, are they? They go, no. All right, back to normal gaming.
And I think this is the problem, isn't it? You know, and I think it's almost, again, a slap down of you cannot be successful.
No.
And what I think you're going to find here is that the US authorities may take a different view here, because I think they want this to go ahead. Other countries want this to go ahead. And Microsoft is rather upset. Microsoft's going to legally appeal, I believe.
Yes.
And their statement, the CMA said and they quoted that the remedies Microsoft had offered to alleviate concerns were insufficient. And as far as they were concerned, Microsoft suggested behavioral solutions would require the continued oversight of regulators like itself, replacing market forces in a growing and dynamic market with mandated regulatory obligations ultimately overseen and enforced by the CMA. Basically, then, the CMA doesn't want to do its job. That's what the argument here is.
No.
The CMA wants these companies to police themselves. Well,
the market forces were working. Yeah. They chose the best product. And now you're penalising for it.
Yeah. I mean, Brad Smith, who is the vice chair and president, says that they are fully committed to this acquisition. They're going to appeal, like you said. His words were saying that the CMA rejects a pragmatic path to address competition concerns and discourages technology innovation and investment in the United Kingdom. And it says, and this is the bit that for me hammers it home, reflects a flawed understanding of this market and the way the relevant cloud technology actually works. And do you know what? 100% he's got that on the nose. I genuinely do not believe that they have the right people who are understanding this technology at all.
Of course not. There's not enough of them. They're spread too thin because they're basically doing this to everyone and every tech deal. And they just don't have enough of the people that actually understand it, or any of them to actually understand it, to do the job properly.
No, it's one thing having the legal oversight, you know, and I take that takes a lot of skill and knowledge. I do not think, but you've then got to have people who have got the legal plus the technological background to be current enough to understand it. And that's what, to me at least, you know, and please, I may be wrong, but to me at least, that is what is evidently missing here. And the irony is that, you know, the UK government saying that the UK is open for business and we want to do this stuff. Well, this doesn't show we're open for business.
Which tech company in their right mind wants to set up business here?
Well, this is the problem. And, you know, and not to get into this, you know, rabbit hole.
Become successful, get slapped down.
Well, yeah, combine that with the online safety bill.
Oh, God,
It looks like we're going backwards, doesn't it? You know, Microsoft, I think, is going to pursue this. And don't give up yet. I wouldn't give up yet. There is a way to take this forward. There are some ways around this. Interestingly,
yes.
You know, before I'll let you pick up on that. But interestingly, Nvidia, who's one of the main competitors in this market, actually supports this deal and has already signed, an agreement with Microsoft that they would bring Activision games to the cloud gaming platform we've just talked about. So, you know, kind of in one respect, is a counter-argument straight away. But as we said, Microsoft have come up with a potential solution, or at least there has been a suggested way that they could get around this, isn't there?
So take it. Yeah, basically the fact that they'll no longer put any of the Activision games on xCloud or for the UK only. Yeah. Everyone else gets them on xCloud, just the UK not.
So we'll continue to pay, wasn't it the same price for Game Pass for 10 years, wasn't it, or something like that?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But you're not going to get any of the Activision games. I think you'll get them on Game Pass, just not on X game streaming.
No, that's it, yeah.
Which technically would fulfill their requirements, but will not be better for consumers, which is what the CMA is saying this deal will be bad for. So, well, it will now be bad for it if that's the way they go.
I mean, the only people here that must be cheering this are the Sony fanboys.
Of course. Yeah, you looked at the Twitter things. Yeah, it is. It's all the Sony fanboys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that is exactly, you know, that's exactly the way it works. And the CMA just do not get it. That's the bottom line here. They don't understand what cloud gaming is. I don't think they fully understand the concept of cloud infrastructure. It is a just, you know, in my personal opinion, this is a, and not because I'm a Microsoft customer, I mean, for consumers generally, this is a poor decision. And yeah, it's not going to go away, is it? You know?
No, not at all. Yeah, it's just a bit infuriating, really. But we'll see where it goes. I mean, it still might go ahead. We're just not going to benefit from it.
No, the worry, though, isn't it, that the FTC, even though kind of came around to the deal, the FTC originally were very, very anti this. But we'll see. I think that's the only thing we can see is what's going to happen. But yes, that's crazy. That is probably the craziest story of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, no, there's definitely a crazier one later.
Well, yeah, different kind of cattle. So talking of legislation then, and we've been covering, what, for 2 years now? Got to be, isn't it?
Started in 2020, possibly come up to 3 years.
Is the Epic antitrust lawsuit against Apple, which this last week, there has been another ruling in the last appeal. So this was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals have ruled that... basically ruled in Apple's favor.
They've upheld the ruling from the previous ruling, haven't they? So the original verdict, I should say. Yeah. Basically, they're reaffirming that Apple's closed app store and security restrictions didn't violate antitrust law, but that Apple couldn't maintain anti-steering rules that prevent users from learning about alternate payments. So they can still have the one app store currently. I'm sure that'll be changed via the EU at some point. They can still put their security on, but they can't stop app developers putting a link in the app that takes them to a website to pay for. Now, those app developers can't build their own payment system into the apps like Epic did, which started this whole thing. But pretty much exactly the same ruling as a year or so ago.
Well, and which kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So Apple are better off. Tim Sweeney is a very angry man. Surely, though, there must be a point now where Epic's legal team must be going, you got to stop now because this is burning too much money.
I'm not calling to Mr. Sweeney.
Well, no, but that's why I said that you'd like to think, you know.
So, no, Mr. Sweeney on Twitter, Fred on Twitter, I should say, basically noting that while Apple prevailed in the Ninth Circuit Court, the court's decision to reject Apple's anti-steering policies frees iOS developers to send consumers to the web to do business from directly. We're working on the next steps.
Well, nothing to you, but
we're celebrating the same loss, but we'll say basically we're working on the name.
Yeah, but I guess there's only so many ways you can dress up a failure. You know,
that's true. But I like the judge's statement. Basically, it said, you know, this is a lively and important debate about the role played in our economy and democracy by online transaction platforms with market power. Our job as the Federal Court of Appeals, however, is not to resolve that debate, nor can we even attempt to do so. See, they understand they don't understand it all, and they're keeping out of it.
Yeah, but she also told them that Epic, they've got to pay up, haven't they?
Yeah, basically, yeah. The appeal's over now. You need to pay up for whatever you had to pay up before.
Yeah, so, like I say, Epic's pockets are going to be a little bit empty going forward. But, you know, Apple were moving to that point of allowing developers. You know, we kind of already knew that was going to happen, and it had kind of started to go.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the bits... Tim's after will get there eventually because the the EU is doing it the proper way and will actually force it through that way. And Apple won't really have a choice in the matter, or else Tim's way of doing things was a bit of the wrong way. And he's paying for it.
He is paying for it. And I think, though, is that Apple are, as you say, Apple are going to be led down that path. And I think Apple are going to kind of accept that from a legality, from a regulatory standpoint. Yep. But they're not going to be forced down that path by somebody like Tim Sweeney, who is, as you say, doing it from a...
And there's still no Fortnite on iOS.
Yeah, and do you know what? Who cares?
Yeah, don't really care, not missing it. But then I didn't play it and I wasn't an avid fan. So maybe if I did and I was, then I might have a beef.
No, true.
But then, you know what? I'll still be pissed off for Tim Sweeney. for making Apple take it off. Sorry, we will cut that out. Apologies.
But no, it the fact that we're 3 years down the line.
And let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Because this must be costing them millions in legal fees. Must be.
Yeah, exactly. These are top law firms they bought in, and this wasn't their internal counsel, was it?
No, not at all. But hey ho, the debate rumbles on, but the legal point appears to be closed. Well, at least for the moment.
Yeah.
So jumping back to the UK government, then one of the things we're talking about recently, and with a lot of passion, of course, is the rise of these large language model AI. Offerings. So we've got ChatGPT, we've got Bing Chat, we've got Bard, we've got several other tools out there. Well, the UK government now is putting up £100 million to launch a task force called the Foundation Model Task Force, which they want to use to develop AI systems that can boost UK's GDP. Yes, you heard that right. The UK government wants its own, I didn't coin this, the Register did, BritGPT.
Yes, exactly. It's been backed by not just the government, by Rishi Sunak himself, our PM, isn't he?
Yes, it is.
And he wants to, what was he saying? He's harnessing the potential of, AI provides enormous opportunities to grow our economy, create better paid jobs and build a better future through advances in healthcare and security. By investing in emerging technologies through our new expert task force, we continue to lead the way in developing safe and trustworthy AI as part of shaping a more innovative UK economy. So when were we leading the way in AI?
Apparently today.
Today, right, okay. Yeah.
So this is, this is alongside the £800 or £900 million that's already been committed to build our own UK supercomputer.
Supercomputer, that's it.
I mean, yes, this is the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who earlier in March unveiled what he called his science and technology framework. And one of these projects could be this UK supercomputer. And what they want to do is they want to build this, homegrown supercomputer, which could rival the US Frontier system, so which is one of the top supercomputers in the world. So if you're familiar with this or you're not familiar, is that there are supercomputer rankings, there are several companies out there that build them. Usually they're kind of custom built machines that leverage massive amounts of chipsets or GPUs from the vendors we know and love, but they are then designed and used for things like weather.
Modeling and stuff like that.
Exactly. So there's weather modeling, they have it in Alamos National Labs, nuclear labs, those sort of things, isn't it? So what we have is what they call the top 500. So that's the 500 most non-distributed computer systems. So it is a single infrastructure, not what was that SETI project?
SETI, yep. Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Yeah, we downloaded it on and it ran a screensaver, didn't it?
It did.
Today there are 500. Number one is the Frontier Project, as we just said, which is a HPE Cray, yes,
which Cray has
nearly 600,000 64-bit cores, which are epics in there. It has 36,000 GPUs, which are AMD Instincts, and it's built by, as I say, HPE, and it lives at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in the United States and was built in 2022. And it does run Linux, by the way, which is interesting.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't going to be Windows.
but you've kind of, the third in the list is Lumi, which is also a very similar model to the one we just talked about, but has only got 150,000 cores versus the 591,000 though when you read some of these down, number two in the list is the supercomputer Fugaku, which is Japanese, funny enough, which is Fujitsu, and it has 7 million 48 core CPUs. Yeah. Absolutely nuts, you know. But basically, there is nowhere in here that says the basically, unless it's United States or Europe or Japan or China, they are the only ones in the top 10. So yes, we're going to build a supercomputer. We're going to match it with our own, you know, new GPT model based, whatever, chat GPT, Brit GPT. I mean, let's be honest. Look, I'm all for this. This is awesome. Yeah, absolutely awesome. But have we got the pockets for this?
And 100 really... million. I was just thinking about that number. I don't think it's really enough. I know Microsoft invested, what, 10 billion in OpenAI, didn't they? And that's probably a small fraction of what it costs to build ChatGPT.
Did you, I mean, just had a kind of random one. I didn't realize that Cray, as in Cray Computers, you know, super, they belong to Hewlett Packard. They bought them for
quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, you're right. This is, you know, this is not the kind of thing that you can just pick off the shelf, is it? This is, you know.
100 million is chump change in AI.
Yeah, I mean, what Apple? Sorry, Microsoft. Excuse me. Dumped what 10 billion in into OpenAI. You know,
they probably spent that on GPUs.
Yeah,
let alone building the actual OpenAI ChatGPT, I should say.
And those Crays that we were just talking about, you know, that you're talking, you know,
that's not a £1 billion computer, is it?
No, but you're talking like 100 million for just the kind of, I guess, entry level ones of them. You know,
oh, easily.
You know, so we kind of, you know, it's just, it's kind of ridiculous money. You know, we're talking, you know, absolutely ridiculous. You're talking probably north of 200 million for a kind of entry level, plus all the associated work that goes along with it. That £1 billion is going to disappear very quickly once you add in fees, consultancy, all the other stuff that goes around it. The facility, where's it going to live? You know, all that kind of stuff. It's not just like, we'll install that in the back garden, is it? You know,
no, you need a football pitch size facility or larger.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, given the fact that this country, we seem to be, you know, not particularly strapped for cash, I should say. We're not particularly flush. It'd be interesting to see where that money comes off. And given the way that we seem to think encryption's bad. Oh, that's a good point. So given that encryption's bad, right, are we going to have encryption on this? Or is the online safety bill going to come into play here and they're not allowed to encrypt the data?
I'd imagine it's that one, yeah. Maybe they're going to be using the supercomputer for cracking encryption.
Oh, we've just uncovered its true.
Nailed it.
Yeah. So it'll use, what was it, Brit GPT to interrogate people to giving up their passwords.
That's the one. Yeah, it'll fish them, won't it?
Yes. So there you go. That is the news that the UK is building its own supercomputer and its own open AI style model of large language. Do you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not sure whether we're running a comedy podcast or whether we're running a series on some days.
I know.
So come on, then, what have we got next?
So look out. They were pretty much the default antivirus for Android. Well, it's gone and sold its consumer mobile security business to F-Secure for $223 million. Yeah. Moving into the enterprise space, or continuing to move into the enterprise space.
So, yeah. So look at, as you say, who were probably the original mobile threat protection, or as you say, antivirus for, well, Android initially, but mobile, if we're going to capture them. You know, they were, you know, pretty much one of the first companies to be there. About 10 years ago, as you say, you know, which
2011, 2012, somewhere around there.
Yeah, Lookout as a company, I think came to fruition around 2010, give or take. And you know, they as a company started off, as you say, with security. They had all kinds of mobile threat protection initially on Android, given the fact that iOS wasn't particularly easy to work. And then those early days, I think it was more of a bit of a bait and switch to say that the security worked on iOS the way it was advertised. But
Yeah.
And that we can speak from professional experience. But yes, over the last few years, Lookout have cultivated, you know, their position as, you know, as you said, the de facto security for your Android devices, mainly in the consumer space, but, you know, mainly and also in the enterprise space. Now, you know, bit of disclosure, Carl and I both worked for a competitor of this company and worked in this space. So we kind of do know what we're talking about a little bit here. And you're right, you know, they were selling that consumer place business, you know, and in the enterprise, you know, there was a lot of talk whether or not they would go and get, you know, bought out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't. They kind of stayed out where other competitors came and went, you know, with the, through acquisitions, yeah, particularly, you know, Mondera.
I think they had far too many investment rounds for it to be an attractive purchase.
Well, that was the problem, wasn't it? I mean, they had investment basically from loads of VC companies, even Jeff Bezos himself in there, plus, you know, other banks. You're right. I think you're right. If you would have bought out your over return wouldn't have been particularly great.
No.
But yeah, so in the last 10 years, as you say, you know, they have extended massively into the business areas. They picked up partnerships with mobile handset vendors as well as
Samsung. Yeah, they bought that CipherCloud, wasn't it? Native cybersecurity startup, native cloud one, I should say, startup, yeah.
Yeah, that was to kind of help segment what their SASE piece or secure access service,
which
is, you know, a growing area at the moment. We know, again, we know we are familiar with. But yes, yeah, so now, you know, now they've sold off their cyber consumer business to the Finnish F-Secure at around a $223 million deal. So then they're going all in there. So this is pure all-in enterprise now.
Pure enterprise now. Even they're saying, and they're now going to evolve into a pure-play enterprise company. But yeah, got rid of the consumer, just concentrate on the enterprise, because let's be honest, it's probably the only part actually making money. I mean, how many consumers are actually paying for Lookout? You download the free one, slap it on there, and you'd probably never pay for it.
And look, I play devil's advocate here. I don't think the average consumer probably gets any value from these kind of applications. Given the nature of mobile OS is the sandboxing, a lot of that protection is already done for you.
Certainly now.
When they first started, I very much disagree with you. The main protection, as you're right, is the pay-for stuff, which is, you know... it gets a little bit more complicated how it works, but is around some of the data protection aspects, the ability to detect, you know, malicious links, isn't it? That kind of stuff. And, you know, and a lot of the big players now, the big player security companies, you know, they too have mobile offerings as well.
They do, yeah.
They're enterprise customers. So, yeah, I think you're right. The consumer side is pretty much probably in a loss-making business. F-Secure really does play more in that space, doesn't it?
It does,
the Soho space. So for them, it's probably a good acquisition. They can wrap that into their offerings.
They can.
And they can go from there. But, you know, I'm to be honest with you, I'm surprised they still exist, to be fair.
Really, we were only saying that a couple of weeks back, weren't we? When we were chatting about the old days. It was like, really, they're still around? But yeah, it said no one's going to buy them. They've got too much investment with other VC firms. So... they just got to struggle on and hope they can survive.
It's the only way to do it. Yeah, I think, you know, so for this is, and I guess, you know, it's a positive step in the right direction. If you still work at Lookout, you know, hopefully this is the right way to go. You know, good luck in that consumer business, really. I think it's rest secure. But not one that I'll be picking up. I know that for a fact.
No. Okay, so ARM. Yeah, so ARM and ALF. Filing for what will probably be the biggest IPO of the year, I imagine. And is another
by some way.
And it's another blow to the London Stock Exchange and the UK in general. I'm going to argue on that one, as they're going to be filing on the US NASDAQ.
Yeah, ouch. So we kind of talked about this before, didn't we?
We did.
And obviously, when SoftBank called off the planned $40 billion sale of ARM to NVIDIA, because every regulator under the sun, including the UK, decided that that was a bad idea. And probably so, given there were some national security concerns, isn't it? So what they're looking up to raise up to $10 billion listing on the NASDAQ. And I think you're right, this is a bit of a coup for the SEC. And the US in that point, SoftBank I think is looking to get a return on its deal.
Anything, just anything. Yeah,
please give me some money. I'm not shocked, you know.
No, I'm not shocked at all. I know they pretty much announced this back in March that it wasn't going to be in the London Exchange, didn't they? But I know the UK government was hoping to convince them of a dual listing, so list both on the NASDAQ and the London Stock Exchange. But clearly, those negotiations, those talks failed. So, yep, it'll be on the NASDAQ later in the year.
And do you know what? Actually, I'm kind of pleased in some respects that this is happening. I think for Arm, the security of Arm as a company, and to just kind of close the on that chapter of acquisition and failure.
Yeah.
And also, you know, maybe this will pump a lot more money back into, you know, Arm are a really important part of the silicon industry.
Yeah.
And this will hopefully give them security. It'll be interesting to see who buys up large chunks of them, because I think we could see. I think we could see some large investments going on here.
Yeah, and I wonder what price they're going to float at. Be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, but also given the market at the moment, the technology stock market is.
Tell me about it.
not good, wasn't it? I mean, was it last week? Intel published its largest quarterly loss in the history of the company.
Wow.
And also, Samsung had a 90% on the 90% drop. They've cut chip production because they was it 96% drop in profit. Operating profits fell 600 billion won, which was 366 million between January to March. The previous year they were at 14 trillion won.
Wow. Apple is still doing okay though, thanks to the iPhone.
This is it, you know. And I think Apple, again, being smart with the way that they've moved their silicon business, you know, the fact that they've aligned with TSMC, and again, a lot of their investments done up front, isn't it? So
yeah,
you know, they're not buying, I think, like a lot of people are. It's going, you know, they've paid the money and see where it goes. But yeah, so Arm now listing on the NASDAQ, which, as we say, wasn't a major surprise. But yeah, we'll be interested to see what they come out at, and we'll update that when that listing goes live to see where, you know, what the first day's trading is like.
Mm-hmm.
So come on then, let's talk about Elon Musk. And quite frankly, the man is losing the plot again, isn't he?
This is a sad but equally funny story at the end, because just bear with us on this one, okay? So it starts with, obviously, as you mentioned, it started a kind of fatal crash and the death of a Walter Hung. He was driving his that's where the argument starts. He was in a Tesla self-driving mode. There was a crash. He didn't make it. Now, Walter's family are basically blaming autopilot and false statements on its capabilities. Tesla claimed that Walter was playing a game on his phone and disregarded vehicle warnings before the crash. Now, obviously, a judge in California has basically ordered that Elon Musk be interviewed under oath about claims he made about the safety capability to test vehicles in 2016, because a video has come to light from 2016 at the Recode conference where Musk can be heard claiming that Tesla Model S and X cars can drive autonomous with greater safety than a person right now. Now, clearly that was wrong, because we still don't have full self-driving, do we?
No.
But this is where it gets slightly weird, okay? Unbelievable. So Tesla's solicitors are basically opposed Musk being interviewed under oath, arguing both that he couldn't remember details of the statement and that the recording may not be authentic. Basically going on to say Musk, like many public figures, is the subject of many deep fake videos and audio recordings that purport to show him saying and doing things he never actually said or did.
Again, it's just Musk in his own world, isn't it? I mean,
but he says crazy stuff that's made up all the time, doesn't he? And bears no resemblance on actual reality.
No. And quite frankly, I think, you know, the one thing we should just remember here, as you said at the start of that piece, you know, somebody lost their life here, you know.
They did.
Walter Hung, as you say, you know, regardless of what's happened here, you know, he is the victim in all of this, and his family, you know. I think, but you know, when you come to the fact of, like, was he or wasn't he driving the car? That's the fact here. You know, the fact is that, you know, Tesla, are saying that he wasn't concentrating on the road. He didn't pay attention to any of the warnings. I should state very clearly that's alleged.
Yeah.
And they also alleged that he was playing a game on his phone. Now, I don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. Teslas have internal cameras, don't they?
They do. But they also allege their vehicles can self-drive.
Well, this is it.
But and all the way back in 2016.
I agree. And my argument here, though, and look, and I'm not referring to you know, Mr. Hung here. My argument would be that even if the car was self-driving itself, if I'm sat in the driver's seat, I'd still want to be paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah, it's a tricky
just from
one.
A common sense point of view,
you would do, but not everyone has common sense, and a lot of people believe in stuff they're just told without doing any kind of fact checking, don't they?
They do, and I think the other thing is that the judge in the case, wasn't impressed at all with what was going on, was she?
No. She didn't seem to have any time for these shenanigans at all, did she? Not at all, basically. What did she say?
Deeply troubled.
Troubling, yeah. Their position is that because Mr. Musk is famous and might be more of a target to deepfakes, his public statements are immune to avoid taking ownership of what they did actually say and do. So, yeah, she's just calling it as it is. He's using this as a scapegoat to get out of actually committing to anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and she had a great name, though, was it? Judge Yvette Pennypacker.
That's the one, yeah.
You know, and I think you're right. Actually, you know, Musk, just stop opening your... I mean, his lawyers just must have absolute fits every time he opens his mouth. They also must laugh because of the amount of money that they're going to get for doing their jobs. But, you know, the guy's a liability, just absolute liability. Again, yeah. You know, somebody is a victim here.
Yeah.
And he... you know, and he basically is shooting it down.
Yeah, I mean, even more evidence that came out, especially even the fact that Musk finalized details of the 2016 promotional video, which claims the car is driving itself and shows features that do not exist at the time. And it cites testimonies from multiple Tesla engineers on that latter point.
Yeah.
But anyway, the lawsuit is scheduled to begin, July the 31st. So we'll have more information, you know, as it comes out there.
Yeah, so this is the first trial, isn't it, regarding a crash? There has been others, but
first of many, I think.
Possibly so. This could set a precedent. So we'll follow up on that when it's comes to fruition, and updates on that going forward. So then, let me fire up the rumor mill, and we've only got one in the bucket this week, but it is the iPhone 15. So, Carl, tell me, what am I getting?
Oh, so 9to5 Mac is claiming to have new CADs on the iPhone 15 Pro from an extremely reliable source, reputable source, I should say. So, as reported earlier, we're definitely not getting the haptic buttons to replace the volume buttons, but we are, according to the new CADs, we are getting the action button to replace the mute switch. And thankfully, the camera bump is looking a bit more reasonable now. You know, it's still bigger than the one on the 14 Pro, but the previous CADs, it was absolutely huge. So is that an iPhone in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Hello.
Yeah. So thankfully, it's not as big as the original CADs, because, yeah, that the camera bump was... thicker than the actual phone, wasn't it?
Yeah, I saw that picture with the Pro on the left and the Pro Max on the right, and these will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
According to the 9to5 Mac article, they say that the camera bump looks to be slightly larger on the Pro Max, but in my eyes, it looks smaller. I just wonder it's not.
No, those CADs are from the 14 Pro Max versus the 15.
Are they? I find that, it's puzzling. I can't. It's almost imperceivable to me. I don't know. Yeah. I find it odd. But you're right. I'll say this now. I'm so glad that the volume buttons are not changing, but. Yeah. The other, part of me is a bit like, on the other side, though.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, it's also showing the USB-C ports, narrow bezels, more rounded frame. So it's a slight redesign, but how much people will notice, I don't know.
So these are from, as you say, you know, a renowned leaker. You know, we're looking at slightly bigger phones, you know, as always. I don't think we're going to look massively bigger, though, from the 14 Pro, from what I can tell, though, is it really?
Not really, no, no.
So, you know, given that, actually, these renders, just as a thought, is this what's his name? It's Zelbo, isn't it? Ian's Elbow renders.
It's Ian's Elbow, yeah.
Of course it is. I forgot. Of course
he works for 9 to 5 Mac now.
Well, I was going to say, is it me or has John Prosser gone very quiet?
He's gone quite quiet. He did release a load of stuff on the Pixel Fold the other day.
Yeah, it seems like since Ian's
that
Elbow,
was the source of our rumours last week.
It was. But I mean, since Ian's Elbow went to 95, I just his Apple rumours seem to have gone very quiet.
I think his Apple rumours have been going quiet for quite a while. So,
yeah, maybe Tim Apple's stomped on his sauce.
maybe.
So, yes, the iPhone 15. Oh, well, I think, you know, this isn't going to be a year for massive changes by the look of it, does it, really?
Well, USB-C, that's quite massive.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as in the phone design, apart from the buttons, and you know, the camera bumps are the same. Like I said, but with the 14, there's only so many ways you can skin a cat now, isn't there, really? You
know? Yeah, it's a metal device or plastic device with a large screen.
You know, the big change, as we've said before, I think we said a couple of years ago, was when we go buttonless and we go portless. That's the big change, isn't it?
It will be, yeah. I don't know when that will appear.
I don't know, iPhone 20 maybe?
Maybe, yeah. We'll lose one button at a time.
One button at a time, starting now, yeah.
Yeah, starting now. No, exactly.
Well, on that news then, that's probably a good place for us to wrap up for today. We'll be back next week. Of course, you can find us still on Twitter. Yes, we're still there till the tumbleweed leaps and the last person turns out the lights. We are at Weekly Tech Rant for all of our latest show notes and things, and also techrant.online. I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good day, all.